Okay, so just so we can start off, it's been great while we've been away. We've had a whole bunch of fun. And so I need six volunteers, please. Two men. One, two, three, there we go. Three, four, come on. One, two, three, four. Come, Andrea, Patty, come. You're just sitting there looking pretty. Come. Okay. Men, as last time, come on, come number one here. Men, I know, that's okay, you can stay where you are, Chris. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So what we're doing is we're continuing with our series on Bridge Builders for the Kingdom. But we're looking, and what I'm doing is we're looking at it through the lenses of God's grace, through the book of Ephesians. And so remember I said to you the first time around, we may remember something about the book of Ephesians to help us see God's grace. Number one, you're dead, Carmine. We were dead in our trespasses. Patty, behave like you're alive. Patty's made alive. We are now where? We are where? Seated in heavenly places. Where, W-H-E-R-E, where, now you're making me lose my mind here. See, I kneel before the Father, from whom we derive our name. So Jamaria, pretend like you're kneeling. That's okay, you don't have to get down, Jamaria, but you can if you want. Vince, we have to walk a life of in our calling. So let's see you do. Don't walk away just on the spot like you're in your calling. No, dude, make a little bit more effort. Yeah. Smiling. And Christopher, what are we doing? Chapter 6, what are we doing? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Chapter 6, we are fight. We wrestle and we fight. Not me. Okay. Are we good, Ken? Hey? Okay. There it is, yeah. Yeah, we're good. You can sit down. Yeah, we're good. There it is. Okay. Okay. So what we're going to do, you'll see it just now, we're going to do part 7 on building bridges for the kingdom. And it is funny today. If you know your Bible and you've looked at your Bible a little bit, what is today? Palm Sunday. Are we good? Okay. Ken says we're good. Okay, he'll fix it when he gets there. Oh, and I've just killed it all. No, I'm joking with you, man. Today is Palm Sunday. And what amazed me when I was preparing the message for today is that today is Palm Sunday, when we know the story that on Palm Sunday Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he came as a humble king. Because if he came as the conquering king, he would have come in on a stallion, on a big horse, a conquering horse. He would have entered in with a bravado, and we wouldn't have been able to see it behind him, but what there would have been legions of angels behind him as his army coming in to take over and destroy. But he didn't. He came to build a bridge of peace. And this morning we're going to preach out of Ephesians on bridges of peace. And that is, I just found it so fascinating that these two collided today for us to have a look and to see. So we should, by now we should be in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2 is what we're going to look at. But I want us to understand, this is not peace like, hey bro, peace. It's not that kind of peace. It's not like, well, let's be peacekeepers. Let's not shake the ground. Let's not open our mouths. Because there is a big difference between being peacekeepers and peacemakers. And sometimes when you go to peace, be a peacemaker, you have to face your fears. You have to face the opposition. Remember the preached on two tribes go to war, and we did the kind of stuff. Yeah, I know. And you're looking at me like I've lost my mind. I probably have, but that's okay. And so we've got to get excited about being bridges of peace. This is not a peace. This is a peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand this peace. It's the peace that when we go through trials and tribulations and stuff, I have an inner peace. My foundation is not rocked. Why? Because I know who I am. I was dead in Christ. I have been made alive. I am seated in heavenly places. And I kneel before the Father from whom all derive their name. And I walk according to the calling that is given me. And we wrestle and fight not against humans, but against flesh and blood, but we about powers and principalities in the air. Okay, that was good news, I thought. But here we go. We said a bridge of grace. And remember when I preached on the bridge of grace, we looked at there was an old mandate, an old measure, an old master, and everything was old, but now we have a new measure, a new mandate, a new master. And if you check back in the notes you made, you'll see I am telling the truth. Hey, yay, yay, yay. Tough crowd this morning, eh? There's no air left in here. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11. We're just going to read it through and then we're going to break it down. Therefore, remember that one time you Gentiles, who's a Gentile here? Put your hand up. There should be everyone except Aaron. Because if you don't know that you're a Gentile, there's something wrong this morning. Yeah. You keep your hand down. Yeah, I know. Aaron Goldberg. Come on. Someone had to be. Oh. There's always got to be one in crowd. This is your one in the crowd, Aaron. And we praise God for you and your salvation and your life with us and your gift to us. Okay. So now you know that I'm talking to all of you. Aaron, you just hang in until I get to your part. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision. We're not going to ask any questions. But what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Wow. What a pitiful bunch of people. But now, I love but. You know why the but is there? The but is there is to take away everything that's just been said. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Underline that. Who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so keeping peace. No, making peace. Underline that in your Bible. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Dead. Finished. Niet. Gone. Nada. Gone. And He came and preached peace. Underline that. To you who were far off, and preached peace to those who were near. For through Him we both, underline both, have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That is good news. That is really good news. And because this thing messed me up in the beginning, I forgot to say something that I had note to self here. Note to self. Where's Alan? Alan and Carmine. Where's Carmine? Carmine. Alan and Carmine. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the lead on our Builder's Workday. Guys, you know that Alan doesn't do things in small measures. He came to the dummy elite And I said, Alan, what have we got to cut here? Because he had all these beautiful architectural drawings going. And then he cut me a list. And there was a miracle yesterday. They let me loose on the big power saw. Yeah! Look, Kant. They're all here. And what I loved so much, it was a family affair. Because Susan and her team, thank you, Susan. Susan, I don't know what time she got up, but she was here at 6:30 in the morning. And her team of ladies cooked breakfast for us. Now, of course, my mind, I was thinking of breakfast on the go, bagel, but I got here and it was a sumptuous meal. So, well done. Thank you very much. And those that made coffee and the teams, there's just so many people to thank. Thank you. And what I loved is that the kids got involved. The kids came and they were helping paint. They were investing in their future. I loved it. It was wonderful. And we had a great turnout. Well done, guys. Well done. And we more to go. The job is not done. So Alan's got plans for all your lives. Anyway, let's get back to where we were. Good news. Yes, we just had some good news. The key scripture I want us to remember, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2:14. And that's an actual picture of a photograph of ruins in Israel, of a synagogue, and broken down walls. And we'll explain that a little bit better. So the question is though, so what about us Gentiles? What about us? What's the big deal? When Jesus on Palm Sunday rode into Jerusalem, and they shouted, Hosanna, hail to the King, hail the King. And we know that he went, we're not sure the timeline, but we know it was between Monday, and Friday, that something happened. He went into the temple, and they all were like, well, who is this King? Who does he think he is? And he beat them and turned over the tables. And what was their next cry? Hail the King! Who's this King? Crucify him! And we're going to talk about that on Friday. But at this point in time, we see that Jesus comes in as this humble King, this bridge of peace, because that was the day that his journey started to the cross, the day he rode in as a humble servant King into Jerusalem. So what about us Gentiles? Ephesians 2:11-12. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the hands of flesh. Remember that you at the time, separated from God, alienated from the... This is like a pep talk to make you feel good about yourself. Okay. The commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. We were in a despised position. We had not got yet to seated in heavenly places. We were just dead in our sins. Nothing. We were despised by the Jews. They despised the Gentiles. And they didn't have any good words to say to them. They were separated from them. And they actually, you guys are the uncircumcised. We are the circumcised. It's like there was a badge of honor for them. And they carried that and they mocked and they jeered and they sneered at them. Secondly, they were separated from Christ. Without Christ, even in the Old Testament, the Jews had Christ. Well, where's his name? Now, they didn't know him as Jesus, but what they did know is there was a coming Savior. And there was a Messiah that would come. And you can't separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was always there. In the beginning was the Word. Alienated from the commonwealth. That's not the commonwealth of Israel we're talking about today. They were alienated. They were not part of the state. They were not part of it. They were a community of people of promise of a coming Savior. They had... Although we read through history and we see how naughty they were, they needed to go to Montenaughty school. And they needed to get sorted out. But, Montenaughty, come on, stay with me. I know, here we go. Sister Act. Come on. But they had the evidence of God working in their lives. All through the Old Testament. God was there for them. And that's why he sent them kings and judges and prophets and rulers. Because we can't do this. It's too hard. It's not helpful for us. We can't do this, Lord. We need kings to rule us. Okay, I'm going to give you a bunch of kings. Hence the book of Kings. Then they said, no, this is too difficult. We want judges. Okay, we're going to give you judges. I think 11 in all, he sent them. No, we can't hear from you. God, we need someone to hear from you. Well, I'm going to give you the prophets. Big prophets, little prophets. As we call the minor prophets. And why were they minor prophets? Because their words weren't that important? No, just because they didn't have a lot to say. That's just the truth. Major prophets and minor prophets. But their history was rich with God's exploits. They were strangers to the covenant of promise. Talk about us Gentiles. Strangers to the covenant. The Adamic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant. As we would say in Zulu in South Africa, Angaz Lutu. I don't know anything. We don't know about all this stuff. We're just outside of this, and we're just carrying on in our lives, and we're just doing what we want to do, and we're sacrificing kids, and we're just going around, and we're pagans. And we're having a fun time doing it. Having no hope. Hopeless. Hopeless. Having no hopeless. Beyond death, there was no hope for them. Without God. No evidence of God working in their lives. Under the wrath of God. Chapter 2, verse 1 and up to 3, I think it goes. Go and read it again. Hopeless. Under the wrath of God. Children of wrath, it says. Bible says. In the world. Living with an anti-God spirit ruled by the devil. And sometimes we want to couch it nicely because we don't want to make it sound so bad. So we say, the enemy. And we don't have a concept of the enemy. And we're saying, we need to understand him. Just call him what he is. Devil. Diabolos. I hope some of you are getting this because I'm having a whole bunch of fun. But the question is, what did God do for the Gentiles? Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. I love that. And that was part and parcel of Chris's expose last week. Draw near to him because he has already drawn near to us. He has built, and Chris, remember, he built these bridges for us across the stage. And we went in and we got over here and we were, woo! Okay. Chris, I got it. I was over here. I was, woohoo! Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I'm just going to, oh, Mark, this is such anointed preaching. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. I'm going. I'm trying, man. Gee. Okay. They were far away. Oh, let's go to where we were far away. And through him, and oh, I've changed. Oh, look, see, this is what happens when you let someone else touch your notes. Ephesians 2, but now in Christ, you and far off have been brought near. They were far off. All eight of the things we just described to him, that's where they were. Needed binoculars, couldn't see, were out there. Corporately and nationally, the Gentiles were not part of this. They were far away. But now, brought near. But now. Say but now with me. But now, you know, and it's the whole point of this is that we talk about God's grace. If we don't understand the law, we don't get grace. Because when you've been bad and you've been forgiven much and you live in the glory realm, you live in God's grace, only when you've had to walk through some of this stuff, do you get this stuff? You live with the proverbial golden spoon all your life. Your thing will be, what's the big fuss about this stuff? What's the big deal? The big deal is that Jesus died on a cross for us, shed his blood for us, that we could be free. We were far off, aliens, separated from Christ, strangers of the commonwealth, hopeless, not sons of God. We've been brought near. That has been done away with. Expiated is the word. We are God's children now. We are not aliens. We are sons and daughters. We are not separated, but grafted into the vine. I got a nice point somewhere along the line, and I'm going to repeat it. We are not add-ons. We've been added in. Totally different picture. I get to come to your house and I get to be a visitor and a guest in your house. It's hugely different when I get to be your family in your house than when I want to. I can just go to the refrigerator and open the door and take out what I want and eat it and drink it whenever I want. Why? Because I'm family. If I come to your house as a guest and I tried that trick, you might be very polite, but inside your head and running through your heart is going to be like, who does he think he is? Oh, he's the pastor of the church. He can do what he likes. No, very dishonoring. But we are in, not add-on. Now I want to encourage you. Your Christian walk and your Christian life shouldn't be add-on. Here's my life. This is what I'm doing. We are walking according to the calling, Vincent. Walking according to the calling. Not add-on, grafted in. My Christian lifestyle, my Christian walk, my job, my career, my family is all in one bubble. But sometimes we take history and we take the Bible and we just like hang it on a clip out there somewhere, because that's where the Bible lives out there. But if we took the time, we'd understand that it's part of the history line. The Bible has history and geography and all that kind of stuff. And my Christian life is not, well, this is what I do. I go to work every day and I have kids. I've got to look after kids. I've got to have a wife. I've got to look after the wife. And I've got everything else and the thing. And okay, we'll also go to church on Sunday. That's add on. Grafted in. One. We'll get there. Okay. How do we get near and over the bridge? Not by anything I am by nature. Don't throw things at me. Not even by Jesus' teaching. Ooh, that's a holy cow you're standing on now, Mark. No? How do we? By the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace. Now, I think Michael said it this morning before we took communion together. It's not about ourselves and what we have done, but what He has done for us. That's where we need to get our head twisted around that. Jesus' teaching is important and good for us. But it's not by His teaching that we receive the grace. It's a free gift of His righteousness into our lives. And that's why we can say we are sons and daughters. And Jesus is my older brother. And God in heaven is my Father. Because He is a merciful God. Because He sent His Son. Hebrews 8:7-13, because He is our high priest. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let me move on or else I'm not going to get to the actual real stuff. Ephesians 2:14-18. Let's just read again quickly. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing walls of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. He is the bridge of peace. He has made a way for us to traverse that bridge of peace into the heavenly realm. Because where are we? Dead in Christ, alive in Christ, seated in heavenly places. We already sitting there, looking back, having a look and seeing what are you guys doing. That is our position in Christ. And when we need to get out of earthly thinking into heavenly thinking, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit we live. He is our bridge of peace. What else? He is a piece of equality, one humanity, that He might create in Himself one new man and place the two. Making peace, as I said earlier, not keeping peace. Jesus came and He was the offense. But you know, the question is, who was He an offense to? The religious nuts of the day had this wonderful title called Pharisees. Do we get offended sometimes by the gospel? Do we get offended by the work of the cross? Do we get offended by stuff? Well, Jesus was the greatest of them. He was radical. He stood up and He called the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, you whitewashed sepulchres. You snakes. That's serious, radical stuff. He was the rock of offense. But He also was the cornerstone of the building of the church. Where am I? Broke down the dividing wall. And that was the picture I showed you, first of all. We understand, I know I've said it before. There, in the synagogue, there was this little wall on the outers. Well, the men were allowed into the inner court. And the women had to sit in the outer court. Then the Gentiles, us dudes. So Aaron was inside. Francine was just on the little outside, and we were right on the outside. We weren't allowed to cross the wall. And on the wall was inscribed the death that would happen to us if we crossed that wall, because we were the Gentiles. And there's a natural and a supernatural wall when Jesus came and He broke down the wall of hostility. That wall to the inner sanctum was broken. And we can walk in, and that's why the curtain was torn from top to bottom, that we can walk into the inner sanctuary. That the wall of hostility, it says, and the prejudices that we have. And I know all about prejudices, trust me. I'm an expert on them, or was. And we need to understand that even as we sit here together in free Canada, we have prejudices in our hearts. And we now have to allow Christ to break down that wall of hostility. Break down that wall that freaks you out when the guy cuts you off at the robot traffic light. I just went back 7 years. Oh, Lord, help me. It says that He abolished the law that separated the Jews and the Gentiles, the one that was given to Moses. He abolished all parts of that law and ceremonies and the laws concerning holy days and the Sabbath and different laws regarding uncleanliness and food laws and pick a law. It was abolished and was broken down and access was made way for us. And that's why we are grafted in and not just add-ons. And I know there are some people who, with due respect, will tell you that the Jews are the only chosen people of God, and they this and they that and the other. It's not Bible. Ooh, hello. We are grafted in. From two made one. Should we pray for Jerusalem, Israel? Of course we should. Should also pray for Canada. And South Africa. And Guyana, and India, and Germany, and Italy, and for the lost. Because otherwise our mind is still separatist. We are not. He came, let me read it again. And might reconcile us both to God. Now that's, and created Himself one new man in place of the two. So, making peace. Not keeping peace, making peace. Whew. Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. We are children of the promise, just like the Israelites and the Jews were children of the promise. We are also children of the promise. Clap, 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 clap. Yee, yay. He is also a reconciliation of peace. Both have access in one Spirit of Father. Christ's coming opened a new way for us. We don't need kings to rule us. We don't need judges to rule us. We don't need Old Testament prophets to speak to God on our behalf. We have access to the Father. We can go in to the Holy of Holies. We can be so bold as to go in and climb up onto His lap on the throne. And we can rest our head against His beating chest and hear Him say, I love you, my child. I have to get someone else to do that for you. If you think that the three amigos here are there here to do that for you, bong, you're out. Wrong. We're not. We have a role to fulfill here. And God has called us here. But you get to hear from God yourself. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Basically, it's just what I said. But it carries more sway and more power because it's the Word of God. And not just nice words that I said. Peace is an open access. So how are we to be bridges of peace? We're to be one family, the church. Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I have access to the household of God. You have access to the household of God. The Jews have access to the household of God. We are all together in one. The wall of hostility been broken and set apart. The natural wall that was there and the unseen wall that is not there but it runs around up here. And we need to get rid of the one up here. Not build walls, but open our hearts. You can tweet that one. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, not a piece of it, not a part of it, the whole thing, the finished product. If you look at Alan's drawings yesterday, we could see pieces of the structure. And I said, that's wonderful, Alan, for you who can read these things. I can read the Bible. I can't read this thing. So he had to give me a cheat sheet so I could go and cut the stuff. God has given us the cheat sheet. He's told us, you don't have to know how to read all of the blueprint. All you've got to know, it's the whole structure. Am I part of the structure? Yeah, I'm part of it. Is that all of us together? Yes, that's all of it. Okay, that's me. We don't need anything else. We just need to know I'm part of it. I'm in. I'm not just on the outside looking in. Do you know, sometimes the unfortunate thing is we live our lives that way. We want to, if you remember the picture I drew of the outer circle, the Sandy Sin, and the Holy of Holies. We like to sit on the outside. Hi, anybody in there see me? There's a pathway. It's as big as this. Come right down. Come in. Come in. You're in. You're part of it. You don't have to hang around on the periphery. You don't have to, and with all due respect, I know some people got to sit somewhere. You don't have to sit in the back row. You can sit in the front row. I'm just using that as an example. Be happy in the back row. Ephesians 2:19. The church is like a city-state. We're all citizens of the same. We're all part and parcel of it. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Come on, say it with me. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Wonderful. That's good. We understand that it's a lack. It's not is. It's a lack. Taken from far, we being drawn. This is where it is. Included in, not added on. Goes on to say, some are Jews, some are Gentiles, but all are fellow citizens. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, but we all fellow citizens. We all included. We all part of this family. I've got 4 minutes to finish this. The church is a family. A deeper relationship exists between citizens and a family. And we need to know that. Because then we again, and I saw a friend of mine tweeted, she wrote a blog. Nikki Cricket, she wrote a blog. And they were a wonderful couple who couldn't have children, but they adopted 2 little kids. And she wrote this, if I remember correctly, and really affected me. Not bone of my bone, not flesh of my flesh. You didn't grow under my heart, but you grew in my heart. Not bone of my bone, not flesh of my flesh. You didn't grow under my heart, but you grew in my heart. And that's what we've got to understand. We have been made in the image of God and we were far away. We have been drawn near through the blood of Christ. And we've got to allow the family to grow in our hearts and be part of the family. And truthfully, like all families, do we get it right all the time? No. But then we put up with each other. Or we become orphans. Not much of a choice. Like, the church is like a building. It's the final point. A deeper truth about the two. One, we can be citizens of the state and we can wave from each other from afar. Two, we can become family and we can sort of get closer and rub shoulders. But when we are like a building, we are bricks, stones, living stones that have taken and been melded together and held together in Christ Jesus. By the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, we are held together and we get to actually bump with each other and tussle. And the Lord has had to take some sharp edges and need to polish this one so he fits a little bit better. And that's a process. But when we are built like a house in a building, we are living stones, living and active. And while we're in Israel, I saw more so with my eyes open where the scripture comes from. If the rocks do not cry out, because that place is rocky. There are rocks everywhere. If the rocks do not cry, or if we will not cry out, the rocks will. And I thought, wow, that scripture came just alive to me to see the mountains and the rocks. And so, you can imagine standing saying, if you guys don't cry out, these are going to cry out. And what are we as like a building, the concept of bricks and stones built into one household. Built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus is the cornerstone into which everything is built and attached. The holy building has character. We are not just bland, gloomy next to you. I'll just stand here. No, you must come and rub shoulders and you'll see we're not bland. We have character. The holy building has living stones being fashioned and formed. The building has a resident. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about this thing. I'm talking about us, the body of Christ. We are like a building. He has a resident. His name is God, the Holy Spirit. He lives in us and resides in us. Be the bridge, a bridge of peace. The question I want to leave you today, will I bring, as a bridge builder for the kingdom, as you want to cross over, as you want to cross over, do you want to be that bridge? Will you bring peace? Will you bring division? Will you bring distraction? Will you bring despair? Will you bring life? And people want to say, I want to be part of that. Let's be a bridge of peace. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey that day. A donkey. And he went in knowing what was ahead of him. The good thing is we don't have to go through all that. He's done it for us. We just got to say, here I am, Lord. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's be like the prophet Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. Let's be welded together. I was going to go on and you've probably all seen that thing that Louis Giglio does or Giglio does in terms of lamina and what lamina is. And what that all means. Go and Google it. L-A-M-I-N-A. If you've never heard of it, go and Google it. And you see the human body is made up of molecules and that. And they're in the shape of a cross. And when they looked and took the big eye into the sky, they looked into the outer universe and they saw molecules out there shaped like a cross. And Jesus says, in Him we are all held together. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The bridges of peace. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Palm Sunday, Lord. And Father, we look to this coming Friday. And Father, we pray that You would bring through this week people across our paths that we would invite. That we would say, let me be a bridge of peace today and invite this person to come and hear the good news and the gospel. Lord, take this word in our heart. Let us take and understand that we are grafted in. We are not just add-ons. There's a purpose and a plan for us, Lord God, that we would be Your bridge of peace. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.